Well, Father, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord, and we thank you for the times that we're in, Father. These are wonderful times, and Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for your anointing upon us, Lord, on every one of us, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit, Father. We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Father. And I ask and I pray for that tonight, that you would fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank you for that, because we need that. We need to be guided by your Holy Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit to teach us your word, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit for everything in our lives, Lord. And we just praise you for doing that tonight. We thank you, Lord, that for blessing this fellowship tonight with your presence and with your anointing and with your direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray about somebody?
No, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Gano.
Tracy called this afternoon, and she would like prayer. She was working out in her yard today, and she lost a watch that is special to her, and she's not been able to find it. And she just asked if we would pray for that, you know, that the Lord would help her to find the watch. And I guess there are some other things. I was going to pray for her. So, Father, we thank you for your love for Tracy, and thank you that she does know you. And we just pray that that you would give her wisdom and discernment and help her to find the watch, and also to know what you would think would be the most important things for her to do. Right now she's got a lot of things on her plate, and so that she would know what you would see as priorities and not try to do more than what she can do. And pray, Father, that you would give her rest. And we just thank you, Father, for the wisdom that you will give her in the decisions that she makes. And thank you for being with her as she helps to take care of her parents, things that she does for them. And also help her to do the things for her job that needs to be done, that she won't feel that her mind is confused. We just come against that spirit of confusion, and we just pray that you would help her, and we just bind up the works and activities of that spirit of confusion, that things will go as they're supposed to. And we just thank you for how you're going to work in her. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That watch is gone back to Tracy. Did you have some more, Gano?
No, that was all. Thank you.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Well, all right, let's, let me get something here. I wanted to pray for Sandy. Took her to the hospital this afternoon. let me hang on just a second. I'm trying to. They took her up to the hospital this afternoon. Something about her heart. And I'd like to pray for her, but I want to read this text first. And this always helps to remind us where we are in Christ. Also, what our authority is. In Matthew 18 and 19, it says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." There's more than two of us here, so we're going to agree, and we're going to believe that Sandy is healed. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against this spirit of infirmity that's tried to ease its way into her in Jesus' name, and I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. I command doubt and unbelief to go in the name of Jesus, and I command all confusion, any kind of fear, to go right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is healed. I command that heart to pump like it's supposed to. And I command that leg to grow out in the name of Jesus. I command that diabetes to go from her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that that medication that they're giving her, I don't know how many it is, but ever what it is, the ones that will harm her, I command it to be turned to water in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is healed in Jesus' name. I command every cell, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of, and every limb to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We stand instead of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ, and we command these things as he would if he was on earth here. Lord, we thank you for using us as your hand and your voice here on earth in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Sandy is healed in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for infusing Jeff with bold and great faith, Lord. We command that spirit of doubt and unbelief to go from him in the name of Jesus. Frustration, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you have placed in him bold faith to believe your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for her complete healing and also that great and bold faith you've placed in both of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, I know that it's for prayer, but I also want to give the Lord the praise and glory and honor for the awesome weather. The forecasters were kind of perplexed or whatever that nothing came about, no rain, the rains didn't come. And so I'm just praising the Lord and thanking him for the beautiful weather. He even brought in cool weather so I could open up the windows and get fresh air in. So I just want to give God the glory and praise for not letting any more floods come through.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we prayed for that last week, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for honoring our prayers. Praise you, Father.
Amen. Of course, testimony,
Lord.
Because I would every time anybody would say there would be, flooding and stuff, I would just say, well, I'm rebuking that and believing that, they're not going to come. So that's also a testimony unto them also for my faith in the Lord answering our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we actually prayed here for rain, and we all prayed for a slow kind of a rain, and actually it really was a slow rain over about 3 days off and on, and I don't know, I suspect we got somewhere around 2 inches, which is good. It soaked the ground up, and that's good, and the gardens are just going great. So praise God for that, too.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Send them over to Michael and all them that needed the rain.
Amen. Well, he did. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? What about praise reports and testimonies? Has anybody got one of those? More of those, I should say. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I have one. This is Terry.
Okay, yeah, Terry, go ahead.
I forgot to say it a long time ago because it happened back in March, but I was going to help my son and daughter-in-law move into their new apartment. And the day that they were able to move was the day that the weather people were forecasting a really, really bad weather day where it was supposed to get really high winds and lots of rain and just be really awful. So I just asked the Lord to give us a nice day. And sure enough, they had to change the weather forecast because there was hardly any wind at all. And it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. It wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. It was perfect. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Dave. We prayed for my mom last week, and she's feeling much better. She has really turned right around. So I want to thank everybody for joining me in prayer for her. She got much better after that. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, that she's completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Boy, we've gotten some fantastic visions and words and dreams about the things that are fixing to happen just here in the last few days. And it's just really encouraging. The Lord showed us that the tower is almost built. There's just 6 or 7 more stones to go on it. Remember, like the Shepherd of Hermas, the tower there, when he put the white stones in place. And that's what the Lord was showing us. And also that we're coming into that one accord that he wants us in, that holiness, perfection, walk that he wants us to be in. And also, he's telling us to pray more and to believe for him for revival. You know, there's a revival. John the Baptist revival is what we're calling it, that started over in West Virginia in a small high school over there, or a high school over there, about the 1st of April. And then about the middle of April, they had a meeting in the high school football field where 2,500 kids and adults, mostly kids, came together and prayed, and people were changed. They're changing, and it's breaking out all over that area. But we need to, the false revival people have gotten a hold of it, and they've heard of it, and of course they want to go in there and pollute it with their garbage, but we're praying against that as well. So if y'all would, just pray with me, believe with me, and we'll pray against that. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that Kundalini spirit to stay out of this young revival over in West Virginia and anywhere else it wants to go. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to cease your operation against it in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you put a hedge of protection around all of those young people, Lord, that they would seek the truth and not allow, that they would see. Give them spirits of discernment. Give them the gift of discernment, Lord, the discerning spirits, that when it tries to creep in, that they would nip it in the bud and send it back where it came from, and that's a pits of hell. And Father, we thank you for that. And the people who don't want to get rid of that Kundalini spirit, Lord, send them out there with it. Just send them running. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels are there to protect this revival that's breaking out. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to have it in each one of our places too, that this John the Baptist revival is going to come about in our areas, our regions where we are, Lord. And it's going to spread, the spirit of repentance be spread all over this nation and the world in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your protection upon this revival. And Lord, we want to see it here at the college and at the schools here too, Lord, that the young people would come and take it and run with it, Lord. But we ask, Lord, that your spirit of truth be in operation there, Lord, that your spirit of discernment would be in operation. And Father, we thank you for that. We just praise you, Father, that you're doing this mighty work, Lord. It looks like we're coming to the fruition of the times, Lord. And I just praise you for that, because we know that miracles are on the way. We are already here. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for revival here. Thank you, Lord, for revival in Michigan and in Middle Tennessee and in Georgia and in Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania and in Nebraska, Washington, Indiana, all over these United States, Lord, Ottawa, Canada, up in that area as well, Houston, Texas, Roanoke, Virginia, around here, Lafayette, Louisiana, Spokane, Washington, South Africa, and Mountain Home, Idaho, I believe it is. Thank you, Lord, for your revival that's breaking out with your young people, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Lord, we just believe. We just believe in for it, Lord. Anoint us with that belief, Lord. Anoint us and put it in our hearts to keep praying for it and praying protection upon it, Lord, that this revival would just spread like wildfire, that it'd spread like a hurricane, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name, that wind would just go throughout this land in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. It's going to spread, folks. It's doing it. I jumped from, Chad, I wanted to ask you, from what I understand, it jumped over to Portland, too, from West Virginia. It went to Portland. Have you heard anything about it up there?
No, I haven't, but I got my ears on.
Okay. Well, that's what the article I read said. It had broke out in the high schools up here around Portland somewhere. So we're looking for a good report.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just read about a little bit about the revival at the school in West Virginia yesterday. So,
yeah. Yep, it's awesome. It's awesome. People are getting saved too. It's real repentance. It's not just junk. It looks like this is a real revival, the John the Baptist revival that we've been looking for. Don't know how long it's going to last. You know, John the Baptist, during his ministry, was 6 months into it before Jesus came. So, I don't know if that's significant or what, but, you know, the Lord's doing a quicker thing now, it seems like. So, I don't know. We'll see. Lord, I just ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of these high schools around here. These kids don't have anything to look forward to but that little old instrument in their hand that they keep messing with, Lord, and playing games with. I ask, Lord, that you just take that away from them, take that video game junk out of them in Jesus' name and put the Holy Spirit in them, Lord, that they would be on fire for God because they'd have something to look forward to, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit fire going across this land in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Whew, man, I could get wound up here pretty easy. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank God and praise him for my wife, Vanessa. she's just we've been married 35 years and she is just a joy and a delight to me and a great fellowship for me and we have just in the last year or two, especially, we've just really come into being able to talk in the Word for long amounts of time and just enjoy things together and spiritual things. And I don't know, it just really means a lot to me, and I just am so thankful for her. And this might not be worth all that much, I guess, in a way, but today is her birthday. So.
Well, all right. Yes, it is a blessing to have a spouse that loves the Lord like you do and to have one that wants to talk about the Lord all the time. That is an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
And praise God for it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vanessa. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Well, a Frank Sinatra, I'm not, but there you go.
Well, thanks. I like hearing that.
All right. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Dave, this is Don.
Yeah, Don, go
or
ahead.
Or Michael. Yeah, Michael, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, we got a, Debbie and I got a praise report. Debbie's been involved in a women's accessory group for the last year, and Debbie just began to have a burden to host it at our house and open it up, and I joined her, and we've been just praying and believing that God would add people to our intercessory group. We're lifting up the community, the churches, and at large as well. And last night we had our third week in a row, and it's doubled since from the week before. And so the Lord just seems to really be blessing it. And Debbie, you want to share anything about it?
Oh, it was just such a sweet spirit. When you get together for prayer, and you can tell that God has prepared those hearts, and that's what it was like last night. God really prepared those hearts when we were all together, and it was such unity and harmony. It was amazing. And we had over 3 churches represented.
Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for filling that up with hungry people that want to know the truth. Father, they're looking for quality. Father, we're looking for quality people. People who are hungry for the word. And we thank you, Lord, for that Don and Debbie has opened up their house to have this, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless them mightily, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That sounds good.
It's interesting, Michael, that you said that about them being hungry, because the Lord gave me a vision this morning about that very thing. So whenever you want me to share that, I'd be happy to.
Well, go for it, girl. This is good time.
Okay. I'm just going to read it to you. So, I saw Jesus, and he was grieved. I could tell on his face that there was just this grieved look on his face. And as I watched him, he suddenly turned into, like he kind of disappeared and then turned into this amazing long table like you would see in a king's palace. And it was laden to overflowing with every delicacy known to man for the tasting. And people were there. And I could tell that these were people that were invited. And they were coming up, and they were kind of plucking a grape here and taking a small piece of cheese there, talking and laughing and sampling and being kind of taken up with the atmosphere, the guests, and with the enjoyment of the moment with one another. Then I saw this man coming in. He had grisly clothes and a tattered appearance. He had muscular arms with large, rough hands, and each hand gripped tightly a fork in one hand and a knife in the other. These were not golden instruments like you would expect to see in this palace. They were very worn from use. He talked to no one and had neither looked to the left nor the right. But he stared straight ahead to Jesus, the table. He sat down and prayed a lengthy prayer of thanks. Then he began to devour the meat and the potatoes and the veggies ravenously. I saw the other guests still picking little delicacies carefully because they were full of the world's junk food and not out of respect or reflecting honor or graciousness to the host. Then the man drank deeply what was set before him. He acted as though this was his only meal, his only sustenance, and he did not taste anything nor drink anything from any other source. I knew at that time that he would go in the strength and the life of that food, which of course was Jesus, to perform the works of the Lord, the hard labor
which was his resolve, his yieldedness, and his desire to only do that work that he was purposed to do. And then the Lord gave me that parable that Jesus spoke to Simon in Luke 7:40 about the two men who owed the debt. One was large and one was small. They were both forgiven. And then Jesus asked Simon, who was love, you know, the man that forgave them more? And Simon said, the man who was forgiven the most debt. And Jesus said that, yes, you were correct. So that was the vision this morning.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. That was a good one. Okay, anyone else? I'm getting excited about what's happening in the spiritual realm. Things are popping.
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to give the Lord praise for what he's done in a couple of people that we've been praying for. We're on a local prayer team here, and we've seen a couple of ladies in the last few days that they've had cancer for quite a while, and they look better than they've looked for a long time. So just praise the Lord for what he's doing in them, answering our prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of that cancer in amongst your people. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Is it right if I dream I had last night?
Do what, Matthew?
Is it all right if I share a dream I had last night?
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead, brother.
Well, this dream I had last night was kind of a part two to a dream I had a couple weeks ago, but I didn't even remember it after I had the first part. But the first part was, it was in a dream I was at my mom's house, and my mom came to me and said, my brother, Timothy, lost, he works for the railroad, and he lost his arm up to his elbow. It got crushed or something. And then she told me that my brother, Michael, he's a automotive worker, and he lost both of his arms. And then later on in the hospital, he died. And my other brother, Dougie, he died. And I, after I had this dream, I didn't even remember it after I had it until I had part two last night. And I dreamt that I was at my mom's church, and we were in the basement, and there's this long table. And when I was younger, we used to have ping pong tournaments when we had get-togethers there when I was younger, and I used to play with my brothers a lot. And I saw this piece of paper before me with all my brothers' names on them. And then I remembered that Dougie and Michael died, and Tim lost his arm. Then I just started crying and crying. And then I went to go look for my eldest brother, Raymond. And then I came to this outbuilding where we're at now. And Raymond was there, but he had lost his arm up to his elbow. And then I was crying and crying, and he asked me why I was crying, and I said, I miss my brothers. And he gave me a hug, which is something in real life he would never do. And I actually woke up crying. And I asked the Lord a couple verses for this dream. And the first verse was Ezekiel 23:12-13. He doted upon the Assyrians, governors and rulers. Her neighbors clothed most graciously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. 13. And I saw that she was defiled. They both took one away. And the second verse was, Ezekiel 13:18. I say, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe unto the woman that sew pillows upon all elbows, joints of the hand, was the thing there, and to make handkerchiefs for the head of persons of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people and save souls alive for yourselves? And that's it.
All right. What do you think the Lord was telling you, Matthew?
I don't know. And usually when I have a dream, it doesn't really affect me because it's a dream. And but this is the first time I ever woke up crying from a dream. But in real life, all my brothers are Raymond's. He used to be a Christian, but he's more into video games and his work. And Dougie, he's a Mormon. And Michael, he's, I guess, more atheist than anybody else. And they used to listen to David Ills, but they kind of fell away. So I don't know if it's talking about their spirituality or I was just hoping if you had a little guidance for me.
Well, I do know this. Mark 11:24, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. And they're part of your household, and we know about household salvation. So you pray and you believe, and it's going to happen. They're coming into the kingdom. We don't care how God brings them in as long as God brings them in. And it doesn't make any difference what you see with your natural eyes. They're coming in because of your prayers and your faith. And I just believe it. That's just the same way with my sibling brothers and sisters. They're all off doing their own thing, you know. And I think that, you know, they can do it themselves. But God's going to take them to the point to where they're going to cry out to Him. And we're going to be able to spend eternity with them. So, and that's, I believe that with all my heart. Now, I know it's going to happen because God promised it to us. And God's not going to back up on His promise to us. So that's what we do. We just pray and we believe. Now, as far as the dream is concerned, it looks like the works that they're doing to save themselves is not going to help them. You know, the hands and what have you. As far as the death goes, which one was that died in your dream?
Dougie and Michael.
Okay. Are they following the Lord at all now?
Dougie is a Mormon, and I think he's following the Lord as best as he knows with all of his heart. And Michael, I don't think he has any religion in him right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just like I said, that's spiritual dead. They're spiritually dead right now, but that doesn't go to say that when we pray and we believe what we pray, they're going to come in. I've got brothers and sisters the same way, and everybody in here probably got somebody in their family that's the same way. We just pray and we believe and we know that God's going to save them. Make any difference what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. We just know that we know that we know that God's going to save them. That's the faith that God looks for in each one of us, for our family members. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Somebody, Robin sent me a clip today off of YouTube with Glenda Jackson talking about her father. Glenda Jackson is, I believe she's a great-granddaughter, maybe great-great-granddaughter of Maria Woodworth Eder, who was a healing evangelist back last century. And a century before also. But she said that her father was a preacher. He was a butcher in the daytime, and he preached at night. And one day he was chopping with his knife, or what do you call it, a cleaver, and chopping some wood, chopping some meat with it, and he accidentally got his finger in the way, and he chopped his finger off. Well, he grabbed his finger and had his wife run him to the hospital. This was back in the 50s, 1950s, and ran to the hospital and told the doctor he wanted him to sew that finger on. The doctor said, well, you can't sew that on. He said, it'll create gangrene. And back then, that's all he knew. They didn't have the technology they have today to sew fingers back on. But anyway, he told him, sew it on anyway. I want you to sew it on my hand. So the doctor made him sign some papers relieving him of the responsibility, and he sewed it on. And said a few nights later, Dad was preaching, and he was really in some pain, and said there was red streaks going up his arm. And his mother, her mother told her dad, you know, maybe we shouldn't have let him sew it on. He said, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't have to worry about this. And that night he was preaching, and he was in a lot of pain with that finger. And he got to shaking his finger, and when he shook it one time, that finger flew off. And right as soon as it flew off, another finger grew out in its place. Perfect. It grew out right then in front of everybody. That's not the end of the story. The finger flew over and hit in the lap of a paraplegic guy. And he was fumbling around there trying to get that thing off of him. He jumped up out of the chair and was healed. He didn't know he was healed because he was trying to get that old dead-looking finger off of him. He jumped up out of that wheelchair, and he ran around the church screaming and hollering the rest of the night. Praise God. So God did a miracle right then and there because of that man's faith and the other man's faith. Praise God. So I thought that was pretty interesting and pretty funny, too. They had that on Sid Roth, and he had it dramatized, you know, with some actors. And it was kind of a funny scene, but it was miraculous of what God had done because of that preacher's faith. Praise God. That's the way we ought to be. You know, it's going to happen. Don't care. It's going to happen. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to see somebody throwing fingers at you.
Well, especially old dead rotten finger, you know. I'd be trying to get it out of my lap, too.
Might poke somebody's eye out.
I know. What it did was heal a man, so praise God. You never know what'll happen when you find a old dead finger in your lap. Glory to God. God has a sense of humor when he does do miracles. You know, I love to read about, and it really just encourages my faith, these old-time saints that had these miracles happen, you know, in their meetings. And it's just awesome to read what God has done in the past, and you know he's going to do it again and is doing it in a lot of places. The miracles of growing out arms and growing out legs and giving people new hearts and giving people new lungs, giving people new organs, you know, lungs, livers, and all of that kind of stuff. Robert Slearden, I'd heard him talking about it. When he went to heaven, the Lord had showed him, he'd walk by a big old warehouse up there in heaven that had vines and stuff growing on. He said, Lord, what is that? He said, go inside and I'll show you. And so he went inside and he saw body parts stacked up to the ceiling, body parts all over this one building. And he said, Lord, what is this? He said, these are the body parts for my people, but they won't pray for them, but they won't believe for them. So if you're needing something, you need to start believing because God's got it there for you and it'll come. Amen. We're going to see it more and more as time rolls on because of this anointing that God's going to bring upon his people of the bride and the man-child, the former rain, and also the latter rain. The latter rain, of course, is the big one, I like to call it. It's the big one. That's the one where the former rain is going to be to its fullness put on the bride. The latter rain will be given to the first fruits man child. And Man, it's going to be awesome time. It's going to be just like Jesus walking on earth. It's going to be just like Jesus walking on earth. So we need to have that faith, right? Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we always pray that their good confession will be in the heart and mouth of the saints of God out there to spread this good news of the gospel, right? Praise God. We got to confess it with our mouth. Praise God. You know, what Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out just before they were to go solo, because, you know, he was fixing to go home. He's fixing to be crucified and taken home. He said in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, listen to this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's what he was talking about, was spiritually speaking. He was talking about all disciples also who go forth at his bidding, and those who teach others to observe all things that he told his first disciples, right? And that word observe, it just means to hold fast to. You know, most of the time we hadn't done that. Over the last 2,000 years, we slid about as far as you can away from what's written in the Gospels. Most of the denominational churches don't even believe that God still heals today or still delivers, that they have to be under the curse all the time. But the Lord is bringing back his people to a time when his benefits are going to be known in this earth once more, miraculously and powerfully. But we need to, each one as an individual in Christ, we need to hold fast to the commands that he gave to his first disciples. In Jude 3 it says, beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. We need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, just like the word says. And one of those things that he commanded those first disciples, which was passed on to us, is Mark 16:17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. He said that to the disciples so they would know what a real disciple was. Right? Are we seeing any disciples today? A few here and there. Mark 16:14 said, and afterward he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. They didn't do that, did they? Now, he's obviously talking to more than just those first 12. He's speaking to us, too. You got to know that he was speaking to us. In this word of God, he's speaking to us as well. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. That's somebody who don't believe. And these signs, listen to this, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So he taught the disciples how to identify people who really believed. And what the disciples said when the disciples were passing on the commandments that Jesus gave unto them. We're not to receive anything, you know, but the commandments that Jesus gave to the first disciple. But the church hadn't kept the word of God. They hadn't held fast to the commands that God gave to the first disciples. They haven't kept to it. They've lost them throughout the years. They listen to man instead of looking at the Word and seeing what the Word says about it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16 says, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me. And he that rejecteth me, rejecteth him that sent me. And that's the Father. And I'm going to tell you something. We have rejected him for the most part in the churches out there. We have rejected their word, and we have rejected their command. And now we see what the trouble has come of it. We rely more on our natural instincts of going to a doctor and getting a doctor to heal us, when that's the number three cause that they even report of killing people in the U.S. is the medical profession's mistakes. 450,000 people killed every year. And the church is sending people to the doctors right and left. And they hadn't brought any deliverance on earth like they should have been doing all these 2,000 years. Because there's been a great falling away. They gotten away from the Word of God. Let's go to verse 17 in Luke 10. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. They were happy to get that revelation. And listen, in the days ahead, they're going to be happy to get that revelation again, because it's been hidden to them. They hadn't been taught it, but it's been there all along, folks. All we need to do is get in their Bible and show it to them. You know what a real disciple is? That's one that has these signs and wonders following them. They were overjoyed. They were happy, happy, happy to see them demons had to obey them. And that's what we ought to be too. We ought to be happy that we can command those demons off of people in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, listen to this. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over us demons and over all the power of the enemy. Not just a little bit of the power, but all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. So we see that when he talks about serpents and scorpions, he's talking about them demon spirits. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Praise God, yeah. He gave them that authority, and he commanded them to go on out there and give that authority to others, and it should have been passed on to us all the way down to where we are right now. He commanded them to teach all the disciples, their disciples, to observe and to hold fast to everything that the Lord spoke to them. And that's what we need to be doing today. We have no authority to do anything else but to share with the disciples what the Lord has given us as benefits and as an inheritance. Praise be to God. That's all we ought to be doing. It's what the Lord taught them. They should have been teaching us, and we should be teaching disciples the same way. We should be making disciples too, not people to go to church. We need to teach people to be disciples. That's a learner and a follower of Christ, right? Praise God. By whose stripes you were healed. Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to what we just talked about?
Michael?
Hey, go ahead. Don?
Yeah, I got my study Bible open here to the to Luke 10, and I'm reading the commentary here on serpents and scorpions. This is pretty interesting. Serpents and scorpions are terms representing the most dangerous forces of evil spirits. Christians have dominion over evil spirits because Christ has given to us his power and authority over Satan, so on and so forth. But interesting, the most dangerous forces of evil spirits. That's awesome.
Amen. It sure is. Praise God. That we should be in spiritual warfare daily, you know, because we have that authority. He says, over all the power of the enemy. Boy, that takes it all in, don't it? The serpents and the scorpions, the most powerful of all of them. Well, I don't leave any room out for us to be attacked, does it?
Oh.
Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Dangerous. That's the term the commentary uses. So we
okay.
Got power over that.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's believe that. Let's confess that, eh?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's shouting time, man. That's shouting time again. Glory to God. You know, God's faithful, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to back us up. But the Bible says that faith without works is dead, doesn't it? James chapter 2 and 26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Faith without works is incomplete. And the Lord's told us to confess him before men. Matthew 10 and 32. Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Praise God. Just like Cheryl was telling him, no, that rain is not coming to Houston because we prayed. And she was confessing it before men. God honored that. And there wasn't no rain in Houston. Praise God. Every bit of that's necessary to believe with her heart and confess with her mouth. Romans 10 and 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. You ain't very far from healing or your deliverance or anything you need. And that's what Paul's telling us right there. Romans 10 and 6, he says, but the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. It says the word is very nigh you. You don't have to go up to heaven to get it, and you don't have to go down to get it. It's right there. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Just speak it out. That's all we have to do. Confess it with your mouth. Romans 10 and 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is that word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, listen to this, thou shalt be saved. Faith saved from what? Saved from the power of the enemy. Saved from the curse. Saved from anything you want to be saved from, because there it is, right there in black and white. What is Jesus Lord of? What did Jesus do at the cross? What he did at the cross was become Lord over all of the curse, sin, and creation, praise God. Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, he exercised that authority over the curse, and he set God's people free, didn't he? And that's the way he wants us to walk too. He said, the things you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Praise God. Isaiah 61 and 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, praise be to God. Isaiah proclaims that he would set the captives free and open the prison to those who are bound, delivering God's people from bondage to Satan, bondage to the curse, bondage to sin, and on and on and on. And it's simple. Salvation in any form, whether it's salvation of your spirit, soul, and body, or circumstances, is with your heart. You believe the promises of the Word of God, and with your mouth, you confess them out with faith. Because why? Because faith without works is dead. We just read that. Romans 10:10 again, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. You know, a lot of times we got trouble believing that God's going to back us up with his, you know, what he says in his word. He says right here, whosoever, it doesn't say the preacher or this man over here or that man over there. It says whosoever, that means, that takes all of us in, believeth on him shall not be put to shame. If you trust in the Lord, hooked up with your faith, you're going to get what you ask for. Romans 10:16, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. Boy, that's what we got today. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? It's the same way today. Too many people don't believe, and they don't confess that good confession. Well, what they going to think about me? Who cares if you get healed? Glory to God. Let them think what they want, but tell them God healed you. Don't tell them doctors did anything. Them doctors ain't going to do nothing but try to hurt you. What they going to do? They're going to give you a Band-Aid to make you feel good, make you think that you're getting healed. Well, they can't heal a flea. They can't heal nothing. All they can do is make you feel good with their dope. It's pharmakia. That's witchcraft. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession, listen to this, in the sight of many witnesses. And that Greek word confess means to speak the same as. In other words, to speak the same thing. To speak confess in agreement with the Lord. Confess in agreement, to speak the same as with healing, deliverance, provision in any form. It says what the Bible says about it. It's to speak with the same word as the Lord. Speak as an oracle of God, right? And he said, Jesus told us that if we're going to confess him before men, he's going to confess us before the Father and before the holy angels. Luke 12:8 says, and I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And those angels are the ministering spirits that God sends forth to do the service for them that are heirs of that salvation, right? Hebrews 1:13. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? They serve us, the heirs of salvation. They're the ones who manifest these precious gifts that we agree with. Psalms 103:19. The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Man, that don't leave anybody out, does it? Over all. He ruleth over all. That includes the principalities, the powers, the spirit of cancer, anything. That means all. Don't leave nothing. That don't leave any of them out. Praise God. We've got the power over all. Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. You know, as ministers of His, we confess Him before men. We speak the same as, in other words, we agree with the Word of God, right? Those angels are sitting around, they're waiting on us to agree with the Word of God. They hearken unto the voice of His Word. They are mighty in strength that fulfill His Word. They are waiting for all of us to agree with the Word of God so that they can administer the benefits of the kingdom. They are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. That is us. That's us who believe. We're the heirs of salvation. And those angels, I'm telling you right now, are out there right now working on this revival because we prayed the prayer of faith for revival in our area. And God's going to do it. And but we just have to keep on believing and keep on thanking God that He's doing that for us. We've already prayed. Now all we do now is thank God and give Him praise and honor for doing it. And anything else that we pray for. We also have that authority to bind and loose in Matthew 18 and 19, don't we? That's according to Jesus. He said, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We bind and we loose by agreeing with the Word of God. Or disagreeing with the Word of God. It works both ways. We loose the devil to take advantage of us and to plunder us if we don't agree with the Word of God. We disagree with the Word of God if we add to or take away from the words of the Bible. In other words, if we don't confess Him, then we ain't speaking the same man. We're not speaking the same man. He said that we're under the curse of this book in Revelation 22 and 18. "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book." And also, He tells us that our name's going to be taken out of that book of life. So it behooves us to agree with God's word so that we can have those benefits. Listen, if your faith right now is not in God, go to the doctors. God's got them there for that. But don't depend on them always. You got to ask God to give you the faith. Now, I just wanted to throw that in there. Don't get condemned for something that you're doing right now because your faith is not quite there yet. Just keep reading the Word of God, putting renewing your mind with the Word of God, and eventually God will place that faith in you. The Lord wants a testimony in the third, where we are right now. He wants us to confess Him before men. He said He'd confess it before the angels if we did that, right? "Everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." Then what happens? The angels go out there and they administer the benefits because of the Word of God has been spoken, right? Because you spoke it. Them angels go on. He showed me 4 years ago when we were living over in Sweetwater that there were angels just milling about, not doing anything, didn't have anything to do, just milling about. And I said, "Lord, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, my people are not praying. They're not giving them work to do." So we started praying in that one house there. We started praying every morning. And we'd pray what we knew, and then we'd pray in the Spirit. And one morning, we were out there, and I saw the angel flying about 5 or 6 feet above the ground. And all of a sudden, once we started praying in the Spirit, they all came down, stood in front of the porch where we were. It was the summer morning. And after a while, we were praying in the Spirit, all of us. I don't know, there was four, five, six of us there praying. Then one after another, those angels took off. They went to do God's Word. They went to do God's will, because we were speaking the word in the spirit. We'd already prayed the prayers that we spoke in English, and then now we were speaking in the spirit. You know, when you pray in the spirit, you're praying in God's complete will then, because that's the Holy Spirit praying through you. So that's what it showed me. We have to agree with the Word. If we don't agree with the Word of God, we loose the devil and we bind God in our own life. Remember what happened to Jesus when he went to his hometown, Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, their unbelief had bound God up. How do you bind God with our unbelief? It's because God's bound himself by his own word. Once he made a promise, and once he has made a condition, and if he were to disagree with it or annul it or not submit to it in any way, he'd be a liar. And God ain't a liar. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and will he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and will he not make it good? So God has bound himself by his word. But what happens is men would like to get him to change his word. They'd like to get him to administer the benefits of the kingdom to him while ignoring all the ifs and the conditions that he put in there. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's a condition. The condition is you must believe. The benefits of the kingdom of God are for believers. Because they're covenant people. And they're not those loosely called Christians out there in the churches. We have to be very careful. Because with our heart and with our mouth, we can administer salvation or we can administer the curse. We've got authority in both ways, positive and negative. If we disagree with God, if we preach the gospel of the devil or the bad news of the devil, and I tell you, that's what we're going to have, and God's going to teach us a lesson because of it. Praise God. All right, let me stop here and see if anybody's got any questions or they'd just like to add to what we've already talked about.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Gaino.
Well, when you were starting this, it's like that's really what the Lord has been speaking to me about. You know, interceding for others and praying, and the word that I got this morning was, give voice to my words, and I thought, oh boy, that's just what you're talking about.
Praise God.
Let your light so shine as you go out representing me. Be my witness. Let the love that I have shed abroad in your heart flow to those around you. Be at peace with all men. Take no offense. Receive in love and die to self. Be a giving person. See others as better than yourself. Build them up. Encourage them with my word. Disciple them in my ways. And the scripture that I got by random was 2 Corinthians 13:11. And I'd like to read a couple verses there. Be perfected. Be comforted. Be of the same mind. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And this is verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And then verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I thought that really went with what you were saying because it just so goes. And he wants us to intercede. And yesterday, a part of what I received was, it says, let prayer be your offense and your defense. Come into fellowship with me and rest. And there was more to it. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool because that's just what you've really been speaking on. And anyway, that's what I've been hearing too.
Amen.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's been reverberating that through to us here for a while now. It's, you know, just
yeah.
Pray in faith.
Right.
Believe what you're saying.
And another verse I came across, I don't know, I wrote it down on the card just because the verse really struck me. It's from 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory unto the ages of the ages. Amen. I thought that's an awesome prayer too.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So that was what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Gaynell. That was great. God is good. He knows what we're going to talk about before we ever talk about it, don't he?
Yeah, I think that's amazing. It just really blesses me when that comes up. When I've heard, just, and then you start talking about what I've just heard.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Barry.
I just want to say thank you for that. That really was feeding me. Really, really helpful to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Here's a good verse that Jesus told us. He said in Acts chapter 1:8, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria," and here's the kicker, "and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You can't do these things without the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the way you get filled with the Holy Spirit is just believe. The Holy Spirit comes on you in power to overcome sin, sickness, the curse, and everything else that's harmful to you. You must have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we call it. And I pray that everybody that doesn't have it seeks it with all their heart. And if you don't have it, we can pray for you and God will do it. Praise God. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. You're not going to make it in the days ahead. You'll be overcome. The delusion, the hordes of demons that have been released, all of these things will come against you. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the power, that's the dunamis that's come on high that God gives us to walk this walk that he wants us to walk. Well, you know, so I can hear somebody, "Well, I just don't know about all them tongues and things." You know something? When you speak in tongues, in the spirit, in your closet, when you're by yourself, that edifies you. That builds up your faith. That helps build up your faith for you to believe the word. That's what the word says. It edifies yourself. And boy, I tell you, that infilling of the Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk this perfectionist life that God wants us to walk. And a powerful life with signs and wonders following. When you pray for somebody and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that God's going to answer your prayers. So praise God. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share or ask or comment about? Well, all right. We'll just talk a little bit more. Hebrews 4:3 says this, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." It's already done. He's already healed us, hadn't he? He healed us 2,000 years ago. He already took away all of our sins. He's already delivered us from the curse and provided for everything that we need. Everything's already been done according to what the gospel has already told us. You know, the devil hates the word, doesn't he? And he's afraid of it too. So the more you speak it, the more that devil's not going to come around you. He hates it. He's afraid of it. He speaks against it. And his ministers speak against it. They also hate and speak against it too. You don't believe me? Get out there and preach the Word of God and see what happens. The true Word of God. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. And it's a war out there, folks. Praise God. Been many a time, there's been many a time that I've come that for the truth of the gospel, if you teach the truth of gospel in a church that doesn't believe the way that you do, they'll come against you. You won't speak there anymore. I've had that happen to me a number of times. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith. Who's God talking to? What he's talking to is people. He said in that first chapter, in that chapter 1, which we were just in, verse 7, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, that's his people, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he ain't talking to the world. He's not offering this power of God unto salvation to the world. He's offering it to the saints of God. A lot of people sell God too short. And they sell themselves too short. Most of the people of God that call themselves Christian, they think that all they have to do is draw a line in the sand. They step over it and they've made themselves. All they got to do is kick back now. Everything's okay. That's not what the Word of God says. Remember what David said salvation was, soteria? He said, all my needs supplied like a little baby. That's the gospel right there. And that's the verb sozo, save. Deliverance, salvation, preservation, healing. That's what it all means. That's what salvation means, according to the Word of God. Too many people see that salvation was manifested when they received salvation. What did the Word say? It said, repent and believe, didn't it? Repent and believe. Believe what? Believe what the Word said. Just like we've been talking about. 1 Peter 2:1 says, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, in all evil speaking as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that ye may grow thereby unto salvation. So that's pretty interesting right there. Somebody who's been born again, but they need to grow into salvation. We got to grow, don't we? David has a book out called Salvation, Instant and progressive. And he talks about you get saved instantly, but it's a progressive walk to get to heaven, right? We grow from newborn babies into salvation. We put away wickedness and we put away guile. We put away those hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. And we start, as we read and study the Word of God, then we repent as we find something that we're doing wrong. You know, we repent of it, get back on track, and go on. That's what it is. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. As you read and study the Word of God, you're going to find these things out. Matthew 24:13, it says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Praise God. When you first get saved, it's your spirit that gets saved. It's not your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotion. But the Lord wants you to manifest salvation in your soul. But it's a walk that we do. As you go along, you repent of those things, and you get more holy as you go along, you know. And you're counted righteous wherever you are in your walk. And those things that you know, you're not held accountable to those things that you don't know, just the things that you do know. Isaiah 28:14 says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scoffers, that rule this people that is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And there, does that sound like the pre-tribulation rapture people as well? "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste, and I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places. And your covenant with death shall be annulled," praise God, "and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it." These are people who shelter themselves from the conviction of God, from the responsibility that truth brings. They do it with lies. They twist the scripture because they want to hear that that their responsibility to be obedient is not anything other than I've crossed the line now. That my spirit's born again, that's all I need to worry about. People invent these false doctrines to hide behind, and it takes away their responsibility. They don't want to be like Christ. But those who do, those who love truth like y'all, and love Christ, and desire to see the fullness of the gospel, the good news, those who desire for His salvation to be complete, Christ is able to save to the uttermost. And those are the people who draw near to Him. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore also He is able to save to the uttermost," or completely, "them that draw near unto God through Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Listen, we're being saved, spirit, soul, and body. The body's the last thing that's saved, and we don't got nothing to do with that other than doing what God wants us to do as far as our soul is concerned. We're being saved 30, 60, and 100-fold as God's fruit is born in each one of us. Praise God. You know, the demons that we've carried into salvation, they don't want to lose that house. They want to stay as long as they can. But we don't want them to stay. We want them to go, and they have to go because we know that when we pray, they got to go. We're coming to the end, folks, and God wants us to get ready. And that's why He's bringing to, you know, all of these words to the forefront now. He wants us to get this word, put it in our hearts, repent of the things that we, you know, that we find out we're doing wrong, and go with the word. Endure to the end, He says. He says in Jude 3, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." And as we hold fast to the gospel, we're being saved, right? There's a coming manifestation of our deliverance from curse of sin and death. There's coming a manifestation of Christ in each one of us. Colossians 1:27. These are the promises here. "To whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Praise God. But you know, some people don't have hope for that. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, for the word of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Power of God. So we are being saved, he says. We are being saved. Colossians 1:21, it says, chapter 1, verse 21. And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, and yet now hath he reconciled. That's an exchange. There was an exchange in Christ's body. He took that curse on himself and he gave us his blessings, right? He took our nature. He crucified it on the cross and he gave us his nature. That was every bit accomplished on the cross. That's what reconciliation means. Yet now hath he reconciled, exchanged, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. 23. And if, look, there's a condition, right? If so be that you continue in the faith, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Both faith and hope are mentioned right there. If so be that you continue in the faith, that is, calling the things that are not as though they were, because they were. At the cross, we were delivered from the curse of sin and death, right? Romans 8 and 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Faith looks back. Hope looks forward. As you probably already know, hope is a firm expectation. The people who believe by faith that Christ took away their sins, who believe by faith that he bore their sins in his body, who believe by faith that by whose stripes you were healed, the people who believe those past tense promises have also the hope. In other words, they have a firm expectation that it's coming down the road. One looks back, one looks forward. Everybody who has faith has hope. But not everybody who has hope has faith, right? A lot of people hope for something they don't ever expect to get. But this is a firm expectation. This is somebody who is believing that something's coming down the road. You got to have it in your heart and know that it's on the way. Praise God. I thank you, Lord. It's on the way. Because it's a fulfillment of the gospel and the promises of God. We have faith for that gospel. We accept that gospel, that we were crucified with Christ, and we ain't living no more. It's Christ in us that's living. That old man passed away, right? Ooh, praise God. This is good news. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, we have a firm expectation that the Lord who began a good work in us is going to fulfill it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that's the true gospel, folk. The false gospel is that you received everything you're going to get when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. I've heard that preached too many times. That ain't even in the Bible. That's a lying devil right there. You only received your down payment. To be honest with you, 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he that established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He's going to finish the work if you give him the faith. There's always a condition for our salvation. And that's to exercise faith and trust. Trust goes along with faith, by the way. We trust that the Lord's going to back up his word. and we have faith that he's going to do it, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, for we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God in them that are saved and them that perish. And to the one a savor of death, to the one a savor from death unto death, to the other a savor from life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And it should be saying that are being saved, by the way. Numerics tells us that. And we go back to Mark 11 and 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. That's past tense too. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's a good promise. We've received it all, hadn't we? And so anything we pray for, we believe we have already received it. That's what faith is. It calls for things that are not as though they were. Romans 4 and 17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and listen, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. Faith is the substance of things hoped for while there ain't no evidence of it. Just to put it in my terminology. We're justified by our faith, and that's because we're receiving our needs through giving to God the substance of our faith. God reckons righteousness unto us. That's what justified means. He reckons righteousness unto us because we believe that Christ took away our sins and that he delivered us from the curse. If you've asked God for a healing, you ask the Lord to heal you, and you're walking by faith. And if you continue in your faith, God always does it. He always heals. It's the same for salvation. When you first came to Christ, you received it by faith, didn't you? Praise God. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment or share or ask a question about? I know I've kind of jumped back and forth on salvation and healing and deliverance and all that, but it's all hinged on one thing, and that's faith. And I hope that tonight has instilled some more faith in each one of us. Because we're going to need it in the days ahead. That faith is something that's critical that we're going to need in the days ahead.
Thank you, brother. It was really encouraging to my faith. Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, one of the things I was reading, because I was going over destructive demon doctrines too, is that first section, speak grace, not condemnation. David made a point which was, we kind of get lost sometimes. Even though if we've been on the road, how we kind of get challenged on some things. And it comes back to faith and grace, grace and faith and grace, and they feed on each other. So that you got to remember, your faith is going to be based on grace, the grace, and then when you have the grace, you have the faith to believe for the promises, and it's all by grace that you receive everything. And we are under a new covenant, it's all by grace. And we can take and have faith in the promises because it's by grace. Keep that circle rolling. Faith and grace, and we build everything up on that. And when we start feeling like we're not worthy or something's pulling us down or maybe say something right or we're going to have doubts, we got to remind ourselves, oh, it's by grace. So I don't have to, I'm going to do too much of myself. I got to rely upon the Lord, look to Jesus, not to myself. It's grace. Then the faith comes and the faith comes back. We have the promises again. Oh, it's grace. That's right. Remember that. It's grace.
Amen. It's always by faith. If you believe. That's what it says. This salvation that God has given us and granted us is all conditional on our believing. And that word salvation, you know, if you read the Real Good News, you know what I'm talking about. It encompasses everything. I think they asked a Greek guy what soteria, which is saved, means. And he says, all of my needs supplied like a little baby. You know, a little baby, you got to give them everything. And God will give us everything we need. He'll provide for us. He'll protect us. He'll heal us. He'll keep us healthy. We just have to believe. And just because he doesn't do it immediately doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Sometimes it's a trial of our faith to see if we're going to stand and endure in our faith to the end, he said. So we have to just hang in there. Keep on thanking God for your healing, your deliverance, or whatever it is. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking how when I first started seeing, was first filled with the Holy Spirit back in the 80s and started to learn about faith and little by little about faith and healing. And I came from a background that was so opposed to those things. And I was amazed to see that when it says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned him for righteousness, it's in Romans 4, the first few verses, and then, you know, going back, quoting from, I think from Genesis 15, it was God's promise about him being, having all the descendants. All that was in my mind was, like you're saying, about the salvation that most people, or most believers, are taught, is that it's just that they're going to go to heaven one day. And I was amazed to see that it relates to everything. If we believe God for anything, he reckons that to us as righteousness. So it's not only our eternal salvation, believing that Jesus died to bear our sins so that we wouldn't have any guilt before God and we'd be ultimately saved, but anything we believe, any of the promises we believe, God reckons as righteousness. So that just is an amazing thing to me still to think about that.
Amen. It sure is. It sure is. You know, if you were brought up in a mainline denominational churches, just like Barry was talking about, that's all they believe, you know. Faith is just believing Jesus died on the cross, you know. He's sitting up at the right hand of God. That's all it means to them. It doesn't mean anything else, you know. What's really frustrating about it, if you think about it, is people won't read their word to find out if these wolves in sheep's clothing are teaching them the truth. They just accept it and go on, you know. It's a ear-tickling doctrine. They don't have to do anything. They can still live in the world and expect to get to heaven when, you know, we're supposed to die to self, supposed to die through the world, as the word teaches us. Yep, it's, and you know, I just praise God that he brought each one of us into the truth and is bringing us into the truth every day. You like me probably have always prayed. I've always prayed, Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived. And he's been real faithful in doing that, you know. Through the years, he's taught me a lot of things. And he's taught all of us a lot of things. And he's done that. He's kept us out of that deception crew. We might have fell off into it for a little while, but we saw what it was for and got out of it, separated ourselves out of all of that mess. And we found the truth, and, man, we latch onto that, and we go with it. Now we can read the Word of God and understand it. God opens it up to us. Holy Spirit gives us these revelations. It's just awesome. It's an awesome time to be living. Praise God. I know there's a lot of death and destruction ahead of us, but there's also a lot of miracles that are going to happen for God's people. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so happy for the message. and about faith and believing in God and believing in the Word of God. I went to a certain church and they were like, they believed in the doctors so much, and they were saying that God has given the doctors the knowledge to treat people, to do surgeries to them. And so they believed in them so much, and they were saying that let's pray for our doctors so that when we get sick, they will be able to treat us. And I've just heard this word, and it's so good. It's so amazing just to trust in God and to know that it's only God who can heal.
Amen. It's God that's the physician. He's the healer. He's not a physician. He's a healer. When you go to him, he'll heal you. You go to those doctors, you're liable to come out of there dead. I'm just saying, you know, I'm telling you. You're right. They taught us that over the years. And we should pray for the doctors, because there's a lot of people who are Christians that don't know the truth yet, that they're still under that law. They're still under the doctor's care, and that's okay. God will bring them along. And if they pray, he'll bring them along, and we pray for them. We pray for our loved ones. There's people around us that still believe in the doctors, you know, and that's okay. We meet them where they are. We're weak to the weak, aren't we?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Y'all go ahead and mute your phones if you're not going to talk. I'm hearing some feedback here. I'm hearing myself two or three times. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? I'm just going to give you some scriptures then, something you can think about. By the way, I have this little booklet. It's called The Sword of the Lord. It's on the site. And it's a bunch of promises that somebody put in a booklet form. And I just carry it around with me most everywhere I go. And it's got a lot of scriptures in it. If you need authority, it says, it is written, truly I say to you, if you have faith and don't doubt, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. Matthew 21 and 21. It is written, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14 and 13. John 14 and 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Here's a blessing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 13, or 1 and 3, I'm sorry. All kinds of good scriptures in there. He's put all things in subjection under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15 and 27. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Boy, I'm looking for that, aren't y'all? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. He says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it is written, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's as long as you're walking in with him. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee, Matthew 8 and 13. According to your faith, be it done unto you, Matthew 9 and 29. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive, Matthew 21 and 22. All things are possible with God, Mark 10 and 27. Ooh, there's all kinds. Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, it is written, it says, do not fear, only believe. All whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2:21. It's a neat little book, and I carry it with me. I have two or three little booklets laying around, and when I need them, I've got them right there, man. Praise God. All right. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share or pray for before we close out tonight?
Okay.
Yeah, Joe.
Morning. I just asked the Lord for a verse or something to share for people. He gave me John 6:27. Work not for the food but which perish, but for the food which abideth unto eternal life. And he just showed me the works we have to do. Only work we have to do is to believe. And that was just basic, but the Lord just gave me that.
Amen, man. You just put what I talked about all night long in just a little old nutshell right there. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I don't have a prayer or anything. I just have a quick question. I forget who it was before. I think it was Barry, or I forget who it was for sure, but they said if we believe anything, God counts us as being righteous. Does that mean that the denominational people, they believe Jesus died for their sins? Are they don't know any better? Are they counted righteous that way if they don't know any better?
Well, it also says that we should study to show ourselves approved too, doesn't it? So if we're not doing that, we're in sin. So that it's kind of a catch-22. You have to study the Word and renew your mind with the Word of God daily. And when you do that, then you find out that where you are is not the same place you need to be. If you just stand in the same place 40 years down the road, you're not bearing any kind of fruit. He says you must bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So they're held accountable in their righteousness if they're doing everything that they know to do. And what the Word tells you to renew your mind with the Word of God, and they're not doing it, then they're not. So, well, yeah, it's kind of a catch-22. You got to do what the Word says. And if you don't know what the Word says, you better read it. That makes sense?
And some of those people do read. You know, I know a guy, he reads the Word every day, but he reads the verses the same way, the same old way that he did for the last 30 years. And he's not growing, but he thinks he's fine.
Well, that's the deception of the enemy, of that religious spirit that he's got. Because if you're not bearing fruit of Christ, 30, 60, and 100 fold, I mean, 29 and a half ain't gonna cut it. I don't know, you know. You're right. We got to be going forward all the time. We got to be climbing that mountain all the time. If you're not in the, look, if you're sitting on the sidelines, you ain't in the race, right? You got to be in the race, and that race is to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold with the time that you have on this earth. If you haven't learned anything in the last 2 years, let alone 40, then you're not bearing fruit. If you haven't changed, you know, we're always, I don't care if you've been in the Word 40 years and you're studying it, David's changes daily. I change daily. We all change daily as we read the Word of God. We're bearing the fruit because we're changing. We're doing what God wants us to do. And I think everybody in here is doing the same thing. So, yeah, you can be, you're held accountable for what you know as you progress in your salvation. Well, I hope that makes sense. Lord Jesus. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for this group of like-minded believers where we can come together and we can discuss the Word of God and we can learn from each other the Word of God, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we're all believing for revival, and we're going to look forward to it, Lord, that it's going to happen. We're all believing for a household salvation, and we know it's going to happen because you said in your Word it's going to happen, because we believe. And we just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in every one of us, Lord. And I ask for your protection upon everybody here tonight and those listening. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your healing power, your delivering power. and your saving power in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Father, impress upon us to pray for those who need it, and believe that when we pray, it's going to happen, that we shall have it. And Father, I praise you, and I glorify you, and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you accomplished in each one of us to bear that fruit of Christ in our life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody, and we love you.